Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode of
the Lucas and Lee Podcast.
Coming straight to you Saturday morning, West Coast time, which means it's Saturday college football day.
Yeah, a lot of college football going on right now. The Notre Dame game is on right now.
Proudly sporting my Fighting Irish jersey as they're putting a beat down on the Arkansas Razorbacks.
It's about time. I mean, they'll be 500 after this win.
Bacon is 100% on the menu this morning for Notre Dame fans.
Notre Dame is 2-2, so they have to be disappointed in that.
Well, I mean, look who they started off with. The Catholics versus Convicts, and then they had to go down to Texas A&M.
Yeah, I mean,
it was tough.
Two games they could have won, though.
They could have. Yeah, they could have. They were there at the end,
you know, and they'll probably wind up finishing, what, 10-2?
Probably 10-2, 9-3. They'll make the college football playoff again.
Yeah, I mean, they'll do decent. But the one thing we got to talk about real quick is Arizona State. And you might be going, why am I talking about Arizona State? Because Raleigh Brown out of Edison High School is absolutely dominating at running back at Arizona State.
E House!
Yeah, I mean, he is just lighting up. So much so that last night when I was at the Giants game, I saw somebody with an Arizona State sweatshirt, and I was like, man, how about those Sun Devils? And he's like, Raleigh Brown is killing. I'm like, he's from Stockton, my town!
Stockton is a hotbed for collegiate running backs.
Yeah, you know.
Washington's running back.
Jonah Coleman up there in Washington.
Coleman, not only a product of Stockton, a product of my boy Vince and Elevate 209.
Yeah, well, you know, and Raleigh Brown is as well. And
Vince Carter killing it with the college recruits.
And Thomas at San Diego State. And then Timmy Thomas, his brother at Fresno State. So, I mean, there's just, everywhere.
I think I have some eligibility left, Lucas.
Yeah, there you go. Get on it.
The way the Gators are playing, I might suit up for next weekend.
Yeah. What's the Gators record right now?
1-3. It's brutal. So, but aside from college football, we have a lot on our plate today. And yesterday, I was strolling the gram, and I came across a post/article that got me a little fired up, Lucas.
It's a man hater.
So Tasman Outhwaite, who apparently she's been on some show called EastEnders, which for those
and
who
her
watch,
name is Tasman.
Tasman Outhwaite. For those who watch BBC,
very unfortunate.
For those who watch BBC, I'm not gonna make any comments on names. For those who watch BBC, apparently is a thing, but she basically came out saying that she is happy being single, which is fine. That in and of itself is fine.
There are some people that are happy being single.
There are some people that are perfectly content being single. And that is great. Good for them. The problem is she then proceeds to dump on all men.
Well, see, that's when you know you're not happy being single. Is it when you dump on a gender, then you're not happy being single.
She comes out and says she is happy being single because she does not want to be a nurse or a purse.
Well, that means you're not happy being single. That means you're single because you don't want to be a purse or a nurse.
That means you're single because you make bad life choices is what that is. I mean, and it is. Her picker is clearly off. And I think this delves into a deeper subject is that there are people who base relationships on different things. And in her case, it's someone who very much probably bases it on very superficial things. And then once that superficial facade wears off and it's the actual person, she's like, oh my God, I made a bad life choice. You know, this person is with me just because I am famous, just because they think I'm rich and whatnot. And that is unfortunate that she's taken out her own choices. I'm not going to say failings because that's a little harsh. Her own choices and dumps on an entire gender. And my problem with her putting it out there, you know, I am proud to be single because men are a bunch of leeches, is that especially with someone like that, it influences the opinions of all the people that follow her.
Absolutely.
Whether consciously or subconsciously, it influences the opinion of all she's a famous person. She has a lot of followers. You know, a lot of people look up to her and, you know, take cues from her or whatever. And it really influences that. So her bad choices in men, basically she is influencing everyone else. It's like that friend, both men and women, by the way, on both sides. It's like that friend who like has zero luck with women or men. And then a friend of their best friend is in like a good successful relationship and all they can do is talk smack.
Yeah, but you don't really hear men do that. I will be real. I don't. That's a woman, that's really an exclusive woman thing. I've never really judged any guy in my life who they've dated or what they've dated, and I don't think any of my friends have judged me at all. But a lot of women have judged the people that I've dated and said, well, he's dating somebody young, it must be just for sex or this or that. But I've never had many men, besides people giving a round of applause, I haven't had any men come at me and bash me or bash the person I'm with. Maybe after I broke up with them, but not, you know, doing the whole, God, I love that person.
I will admit, I did have a few friends who were not happy when I met my ex-wife, because that meant I moved all the way over to Morgan Hill, and Lee was no longer.
Yeah, they weren't happy that they could hang out with me, but there it had nothing to do with the person.
There was no more fun Lee.
Yeah, so yeah, no so Lee. I mean, that has nothing to do with the person you're
dating.
Back
in the day, Lee was the life of the party.
Women trash a lot of other women dating women, and if you have a woman friend and you're a guy, that woman friend usually bashes.
So I was dating one woman. This was back like 2015, 2016. We're together for like a year, and her best friend hated me.
Yes,
for existing.
Yeah, because you're taking time away from her, and she doesn't.
I try to be as nice as possible. And simply for existing, and I remember after, because we're still friends, me and this ex-girlfriend in particular, we're still friends. And I remember asking her, your friend, I will omit names because I don't like to use identifying qualifiers here. She didn't like me. She hated me, didn't she? And she was like, well, she didn't not like you. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
But yeah, that's definitely more of a woman thing. I will say, though, about this. What's her name?
Tasman Athwaite.
I think that she is rage baiting more than anything. I think that that's the big thing.
Oh, it's definitely definite clickbait.
Yeah, like
there's definite clickbait.
Because it's really cool to bash men, and men bash men, women bash men, and then everybody's like, it's not original.
I will tell you, it was in the, first of all, the article with her crapping on all men got 9,220 likes, yeah. 513 comments. I am afraid to
Well, if you ever want to lose faith in humanity, just read comments of any post.
Comments on any social media.
Yeah, you lose faith in humanity, just read the comments.
But yeah, it's just, you know, it is unfortunate when... Hey, and look, men do it too. Men will go out and have a few bad experiences with women and say all women are like that.
We call them incels.
And I mean, we all know Lee's dating history and dating record. So it can be easy to fall into that trap instead of being positive, thinking that there is somebody out there for everybody.
I firmly believe. I think most of the men that do it are in that category of incel, and in that group of incels,
yes,
people applaud them, but I don't think regular guys
applaud them. They're definitely, and I think it's caught on more because of COVID, and you had a bunch of younger men, especially younger men. I mean, and there are studies on this that, you know, there are a greater percentage of younger men who've never gone on a date or, you know, gotten funky in between the sheets. Because of COVID, because they were isolated and they loved it. It fit their personality, and they were isolated for so long. They're just like, I'm just going to keep on being isolated.
Well, they're isolated.
No human interaction.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and part of it's because of who they are. They don't have a personality. They don't have a look. They don't take care of themselves. And, you know, you're not going to get a woman if you do that. So a lot of times when the men are complaining about, well, I can't get this or I can't get that, you have to look in the mirror and look at what you're doing, how you're living your life.
100%.
Got to have a good job.
Got to work out.
Got to
call Fit Lurie and go to Combine Fitness.
And do it up.
And work out.
Yes.
By the way, Fit Lurie, I'm expecting payment for that free advertisement you just got. But that leads us to a new phenomenon. You know, the Gen Zers always come up with new terms and nicknames and whatnot.
That's why we love them.
That's why we love them. All sorts of new terminology. Cushioning and monkey barring.
So tell us what that is.
So I honestly, I believe they're one and the same.
Cushioning and monkey barring.
Yeah. So cushioning is when you have a guy that you like basically breadcrumb, you know, give enough attention to make him think you're interested. But in reality, he's just the backup. He is Steve Young when Joe Montana was in his prime.
Yeah, or Mac Jones right now. You know,
Mac Jones. Yeah. Until you find something better. Until the next best thing comes along. Now, monkey barring, I guess monkey barring is a little different because monkey barring, as we remember as young kids on the playground doing the monkey bars, going from bar to bar, it's basically going from relationship to relationship.
Okay.
As in the movie Jerry Maguire, a serial monogamist.
Okay.
But basically it's like you're in one relationship and you hold on to that until the next one's ready to go. And then you go on to the next one and so on and so forth. And
I know a lot of people like that.
You guys get the gist. I just find it, I mean, look, that's been happening for Lord knows how long.
Yeah, you just have easier access now because of social media.
You do.
You know, because you before you would have to really approach somebody and ask them face to face out. You know, and that's one of the biggest reasons why people cheat so much now because it's so easy to cheat.
It is easy. It is.
We've made it easy to cheat.
I mean, look, I'll admit I've been cushioned before. I've been the backup. I didn't know it at the time, obviously, at the time. I thought it was, you know, option number one, but And looking back on it, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and it really does come into, and you know, when I date now, I'm very upfront and I'm like, hey, look, in the past, I'm the one who's always been putting in the effort and, you know, always contacting first and texting first and making, you know, be the one to make the plan and all that. And anytime one party or the other, man or woman, is doing that, it shows that the other party really
checked out.
Yeah, they're checked out. They like the attention.
Yeah,
they love attention. They love the attention.
Who doesn't love it?
But they're really not in it.
No, they're not in it.
They're really not in it. You're a pleasant diversion.
Yeah,
and they're basically just waiting for the next best thing to come along.
Yeah.
And so I'm always very upfront. I'm like, hey, look, there needs to be some effort on both sides. There does. There needs to be, you know, effort on both sides. And you know, I'm luckily talking to somebody these days where, you know, the effort is on both sides.
They're putting 100%,
and it's great. And honestly,
effort in,
it's great. It's great to have that effort. You know, it's just a different feeling when you have effort being reciprocated.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really the worst thing to do.
And if you are a one-sided relationship, the true test is to just stop calling and see if they call you back. If they don't call you back, then there's your answer.
Oh, and I've done that. I've done that.
It was all me
and I literally would just like stop.
And then
like
nothing.
For days, and there was nothing.
That's when you don't text back, you don't call back.
You're like,
let it go.
Peace out, home skillet. Yes. So, but it's, you know, it is unfortunate that that happens because that really, the cushioning, the monkey barring, and it's unfortunate for the people who do it.
Yeah.
Because it really prevents you. It's people who have this expectation that relationships are always going to be super easy peasy. It's going to be nothing but rainbows and sunshine and smooth sailing the entire way. When in reality, relationships are work and they are hard work. And there's going to be times you're going to think, what in the world am I doing with this person?
And that's when I walk out.
Instead of hunkering down, and even though you do have some doubt, you're like, I don't want to be this person. When in reality, you're like, you know what? At the end of the day, this person, no matter how much they may frustrate me because of A, B, C, or D, this person makes me happy. They do. And you know, it is because what does everyone these days say they want? They want someone that puts in effort, that, you know, gives them time, gives them attention, makes them a priority. And too often, one party or the other will do that. I've done that in the past. And at the end of the day, it was all for naught because they weren't making me a priority. And look, I've also been the person that had that done to me.
Yeah.
Where a person was making me a priority and giving me the attention and all those things that we all say we want in a relationship. And I mentally just wasn't there. I had a million other things going on. There was soccer stuff. There was family stuff. Notre Dame is up 41-13. Go Irish. And it just didn't work out. But I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I did take some self-accountability and admitted it. And I told this individual, hey, you gave me everything that I say I want for in a relationship. And I wasn't there. I apologize. I screwed up. And I think it's important to take self-accountability. And that at least makes the other person, because a lot of times when you're doing that, when you are making them a priority and giving them attention and all these things, and they're just like, I see you later, whatever, peace out. The person who's doing that feels like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
They do. They honestly feel like, what's wrong with me? And so I thought it was important to let this individual, let this wonderful, wonderful woman know that it was nothing with you. It was all me.
Yeah, you just weren't in it.
I screwed up. Yeah. I fumbled the football here. And that's on me. So
you Roger Craig'd it in 1990 during the Giants game.
I did Roger Craig it during the NFC Championship game.
First of the year,
but you know, don't stop what you're doing, because what you're doing is great, and don't change it on account that I screwed up.
Yeah,
that everyone is your relationship lesson of the day.
There you go. Right?
From a couple of single guys in midlife crisis.
Yeah. You know, midlife crisis actually is in your 30s. We're towards the
is
end.
It?
Yeah, because, you know, you think about it, the average life expectancy is 71.
Except for that Japanese lady who's 117.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, for the most part, like, once you're in your 40s and 50s, you're past your midlife. So it depends on how long you live.
Well, you know, I do have a brand new liver, so maybe that might, you know, increase.
Yeah, you know.
Cross the fingers.
Yeah, we want to be here as long as possible.
Okay, enough about relationship babble on a Saturday morning. Lucas, you are all about the Marlins and Mets.
Oh, I want to make the Marlins manager the manager of the year. I am joking, but I love what he did. The Marlins manager held out his three best starters for this weekend series versus the New York Mets so they could knock the Mets out of the playoffs. And last night, it worked a wonder. Now the Reds and Mets are tied, and the Reds have the tiebreaker. So if the Mets lose another game and the Reds can win two, bam, work is done, and the Marlins have knocked out the Mets. And the Marlins are one of those sneaky, really good teams. They played at Oracle Park. They swept the Giants.
You know, of course, the Marlins also usually play in front of like 50 people.
Yeah, but they had 34,000. 34,000. So the whole city of Miami is behind knocking the Mets out.
Now, here's the question. Who really is knocking the Mets out of the playoffs? Is it the Marlins? Or is it Chapel Run?
The Chapel Run song, that's a valid point, because ever since Chapel Run was at the Mets game and played her song, the Mets went, they've never been, you can literally pinpoint it to that day. The last year, Grimace came in and they went on that winning shirt.
Yeah.
Chapel Run came in and bam. As soon as Chapel Run performed there, so I think Chapel Run should get a little award
too. Apparently, the Mets are not HOTTOGO. Yeah. No, the Mets are not hot to go. Apparently, yeah.
And I am going to love it as soon as they're knocked out.
Didn't the Mets spend like $1 billion their payroll?
And they got Juan Soto, and they were dancing in the streets and talking about how great the team was and how they're going to run away with the division. And then they got off to a great start, and then Chapel Run.
You know, here's the problem, is that it is neither 1969 nor 1986.
Yeah.
There is no Dwight Gooden. There is no Tom Seaver. Bill Buckner's not letting a grounder go through his legs. And the Mets have been cursed ever since.
Well, you know,
they really have.
Yeah, and what's lost in that 86 fiasco is the fact that the Red Sox should have won that series. The Red Sox choked it. The Mets really didn't win it.
No.
The Red Sox put Bob Stanley in, which is a terrible decision. Calvin Schiraldi in, which is a terrible
decision. No, that was horrible. Yeah. I still remember that.
I don't understand why you would put those guys in that game in that situation. And the ball goes under Buckner's legs. What also is lost on that 86 team is what happened after. In 87, they choked and lost the division to the Cardinals. in 88. They won 100 games and then choked in the playoffs versus the Dodgers. That was an all-star team, and they still couldn't win. They're losers.
I still remember the 86 World Series. It was Vin Scully on the call for NBC.
Yes.
God, we're dating ourselves.
Oh, no, and I got to tell you, my favorite call of all time of Vin Scully's was in the 1987 NLCS. And Jeffrey Leonard hit like his third home run of the series.
One flap down.
And he hit the home run. And as he's rounding first base, Vin Scully goes, "This is going to take a while."
Of course, you know who probably the greatest announcer of all time was.
Who's your guess?
Hey, Nor. What if we used hot dog a currency? 10 hot dog equals a yen, depending on the strength of the dollar.
The great Harry Carey.
Harry Carey.
Who was drunk most of the time he broadcast.
Which is why he was so great. Yeah, I mean, come on.
In fact, the whole Take Me Out to the Ball Game being sung at the seventh inning was because he turned his mic on accidentally. And it broadcasted to the whole stadium. He was drunk. He was like, "Take me out to the ball game."
The best. Harry Carey. Yeah. Way, way best. Okay. Enough about baseball, which I know is your favorite sport. Yeah.
Baseball and soccer and football. I love those.
We are in the midst of NFL season.
Yeah.
And I would be remiss to talk about our beloved 49ers. We're 3-0.
3-0. Going to be 4-0 after this weekend.
3-0. 4-0 after they take out Duval County. And the Jacksonville Jaguars. Even though I got to tell you, Jacksonville is a pretty, well, depending on where at in Jacksonville, is an extremely nice city.
Yeah, because there's areas of Jacksonville that are pretty bad.
Yes, there are. But then there are areas of Jacksonville, like the Epling Forest area. I once upon a time dated an attorney who had a house right in the St. John's River in the Epling Forest. And I literally was like, I could just be your cabana boy.
Yeah, I mean, and they need a new stadium, though, in Jacksonville.
They
need a new football stadium.
They do. The Gator Bowl is, which I don't care what they call it these days, it's the Gator Bowl.
Yeah.
It's the Gator Bowl.
They need a new
stadium. Always
new
will
stadium.
Be. They
new
do.
New stadium in Jacksonville.
But they're doing it with, like, all sorts of spare parts.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars are a good team. They will lose this weekend because the 49ers are better, and it's in San Francisco or Santa Clara.
So... they won two games with Mac Jones, a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Bosa is out for the season. Mm-hmm.
But Purdy's back tomorrow.
Purdy is back tomorrow. Ayuk is not coming back anytime soon.
No.
It's all spare parts. And they're still putting together a winning season. Which, for the record, it's like when you least expect it, the 49ers put together a fantastic season.
Well, when you look at who they're playing... there's no way they're not going to have a fantastic season because they're a decent team and the spare parts they have are good. So I'm looking at least 11 wins, maybe 13.
So I got to interrupt. So, you know, we're watching Notre Dame and Arkansas. Well, watching, it's in the TV in the background here. And they just had a commercial for the Golden Bachelor.
Yeah, I know you're excited about that.
As we all know, for shits and giggles, Lee would break down The Bachelorette on K-Win every Tuesday, which I still remember getting a lot of people mad when it was the best friends, the two Bachelorettes, and there was that one best friend who just made very bad life choices.
Yeah.
And I called her out on it, and all the replies were like, "Leave her alone, yeah. She's had a hard life." Anyways, they're showing a commercial for the latest Golden Bachelor. And this dude is in a pool surrounded by all the other bachelorettes. We're talking like 25. And he's making out with one of the contestants in front of everyone. In front of
everyone. And that's in the promo.
And that's in the promo. A, you know the producers told them, make out with somebody in front of everyone.
Make out with somebody.
Yeah, let's get some rage bait for this season. Also, Illinois is beating the University of Spoiled Children 14-10. But, if that's what this season of the Golden Bachelor is going to be like,
you're all in.
Watch out!
Watch out.
Watch out. Giving ABC a free promo for the Golden Bachelor. I expect a residual check from them as well.
Absolutely.
For the 10 people who listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
But on the opposite end of the 49ers having a great season, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, they're a disappointment so far. 1-2, the Chargers are way better than they are. a much better team.
You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how sad does Fit Lurie get every weekend?
I don't know. I know she roots for them, but I don't know that she's necessarily a diehard
She
fan.
Did dress up as a Raiderette for Halloween one year.
Yeah, you know, but I think, like a lot of Raider fans, it's the silver and black colors. It's the shield. It's more of the look than it is the team, because the team's been bad for so long. You know, they broke it down and they found the game that changed it. Did you ever see that breakdown?
No, no.
They said in 1985, it was a game that changed it for all. It was actually, the game was in 84, but and it was both teams changed in 84 in this game. It was in November of 1984. It was at Soldier Field. And the Big Bad Raiders were Super Bowl champs. Mm-hmm. They were coming off their championship for the 83 season. And the Bears were...
they were up and coming. They made the playoffs that year. They got beat by the 49ers 28-0 in the divisional, but they made the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I mean, 84 was the 49ers year. Best football team ever assembled. Mm-hmm. It was the 1984 49ers. But that game in November was a game where that Bears defense just destroyed the Raiders. Just destroyed them. Mark Wilson, like, was carted off. They had to have Ray Guy quarterback because Plunkett was hurt.
No, man.
Wilson got hurt. They were like, and Ray Guy's like, I don't want to go in. I don't want to go in. And the Raiders wound up losing that game. And since that moment, the Raiders have been very mediocre. In 85, they lost to the Bears in the playoffs. And then after that, I mean, not the Bears, the Seahawks. Patriots. Patriots. That's
Patriots,
the
Patriots, was, Patriots. Yeah, it was the Patriots.
They
yes.
lost to the Patriots yeah. at LA Coliseum. And after that moment, they went right downhill. And they've never been the same. They've been nothing but mediocre. Besides that little run with Gruden between 2000
was
and
that, was that the playoff game where somebody punched the owner of the
yes.
Patriots?
Matt Millen. No.
Matt Millen. Matt Millen punched the owner and GM of the Patriots. Yes. I'm sure there's some Cowboy fans that wish somebody would punch Jerry Jones.
I'm sure they will at some point.
Okay. But, you know, and I feel bad because Fit Lurie is not here to defend herself. Yeah. So we need to have Fit Lurie back on again
show, yeah.
so she can defend her level of fandom of the Raiders. Yes. Because right now, she's a very easy target. She's a very easy target. And with that, everyone, well, we do have a worst week ever. Do you have a worst week ever?
I'm going to give mine to somebody different than you. I'm giving it to Frank Fleming, Frank the Tank from Barstool. He is the biggest Mets fan and Dolphins fan in the world. I don't think that there's two worse teams to root for. And I do really enjoy his post-game recaps because he loses it, as any Mets and Dolphins fan would. And his hockey team is the Devils.
Speaking of losing it, have you ever heard the infamous rant from Phyllis from Mulga?
No.
Oh, everyone go to YouTube and put in Phyllis from Mulga, M-U-L-G-A. And it will come to this epic rant on the Paul Feinbaum show on ESPN. Because apparently Colin Cowherd said the Alabama dynasty was over. This was like 2017 or something like that. When Nick Saban was still, you know, at the peak of his powers. And she just, she became famous. She literally became famous off this rant. And in college football in the South, which is a thing, as you are well aware, I have now become fully indoctrinated in. Phyllis from Mulga is an icon. She's an icon in college football fandom in the South. But my worst week ever is going to go to you, Billy Napier. And it will go to you every week until you get canned as the head coach of my beloved University of Florida Gators. Because literally an eighth grader could call a better game than you. An eighth grader could do a better job. A better job as being head coach of the University of Florida Gators and managing the talent on that squad than you can. So, yes, Billy Napier, you had the worst week ever, and you will continue to do so until you get to file for unemployment.
Boo! On that note,
everyone, it's been swell. See you later.